Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.
That's where you can find those studies if you want to study with us. And so we invite you, why don't you join us, right? And if, in case you're wondering, what do they say? +27 73 470 3520. That's where you basically can get in touch with us as we're looking at the Voice of Prophecy. We're studying this study or this lesson, A God-Planned Life. And joining us will be my elder Dumisani Moyo to share more on this conversation here. Now, Jesus lived a God-planned life, is what the scripture would say, right? In fact, one that was prophesied about hundreds of years before his birth. And he said in John 8, 28 and 29, I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things and I always do the things that please him. So join us as we have a conversation with our elder. Abdallah, good afternoon to you and welcome.
Good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
No, we're doing okay, sir. And your side?
No, I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
The weekend was all right?
No, weekend was good. Sabbath was good. I don't know, how was service on your side? How was the weekend on your end?
No, we were good. Everything went well. The Lord was with us. We were attending church with the kids, Pathfinders. That was good. That went very well.
Oh, yeah. You guys had Pathfinders over here. We had children's ministries going on.
Ah, okay.
It's always nice to see the children also do their part in the Word of God.
Certainly. And I guess that's what Christ was all about, right? To say, hey, allow these young ones to come through. They have a part in the ministry, even his ministry as well. Yeah.
It's very true. And actually, you find out that even the young ones have a purpose in God's, in God's plan as well.
Oh, yes. And it's at that age that you want to remind them that they too are matter in this ministry. I think it becomes very important. But thank you so much, Mdala. Let's jump into our conversation. We are looking at that idea of the God-planned life. Maybe let's just start by summarizing what the lesson for today is all about. And what does a God-planned life will look like in our context?
So really, the last time we spoke, we talked about how Jesus indeed lived the God-planned life.
Yeah,
maybe then
life.
the question and prophesied about, and we talked about how profoundly God shows us that, so that we can then know that how full His promises actually are, and just how far He will reach out to get us. But now the question is: okay, that was Jesus. What about us?
What about us? Yeah.
Can we live a God-planned life, or a life that is centered on the purpose that God has for our lives? And so that's what we'll be talking about today, to say, okay, how do we do it? What does that look like? Is there a way that we can get to live that God-planned life? Or do we just look at Jesus and say, oh yeah, that was good for him. I just don't know how to do it.
And what do we mean, though, when we say his life was God-planned? Can you give some examples on that?
So I think one of the best ways to look at how he had a God-planned life is the way that there's two things. One, the verse that you had actually said while you were introducing this conversation, 8:28, where he says, I do nothing of myself. Everything I do is done because of the Father. But also, when he was growing up, when he was still growing up, and he went to the temple for the first time during the feast, and when they asked him, where have you been? And he said, don't you know I am to be about my Father's business? And so even when you see the way that Jesus lived his life, he would go from one place to the other, but for one purpose and one alone, and that was for the kingdom of God. Or he went about his father's
business. Quite profound. And how do we translate that into our own lives? Or was it just designated for Christ alone, and we don't need to be bothered about that?
So here's the interesting thing. Whenever we have that relationship with God, we want it. Not only is it one of those things that we say, oh, okay, that's for someone else. We're not only concerned, we actually want that Christ-driven life because of that, or that God-driven life. One that is centered towards the purpose of God. But what does that look like is maybe what would be very important, and what we would be looking at today. If you don't mind, maybe we could even go through some steps actually that could help along with that actually.
I like that. We also want that. Then why do we struggle? Maybe let's touch on that. Because A, to understand God's plan is one thing, but to then accept it for our lives, I have a fit.
It's very interesting why we find it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite hard because sometimes we're afraid. Honestly enough, you may find that it's because we're afraid that maybe where God is calling us is not where we are. It's a very scary thing.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we even get to the point of maybe thinking, maybe God will lead me down a path I don't want to go. For example, it happened with Jonah when God called him to go and preach in one place. He said, but I don't want to go over there. That place is a scary place to go. So maybe in some cases it's that we're afraid, or the change may be too much for us. But I always find that being honest with God, when it comes to actually holding back and actually telling him and saying, but God, the reason why I am afraid or the reason why I'm holding back, if I don't know what it is, then Lord, please show me what it actually is that is holding me back. After all, I think there's a text actually in the Bible that says, show me the ways of my heart, or look into my heart and show me if there's any
wicked
evil within me.
Yeah.
You know?
And we were actually talking about that earlier on, Psalm 139, right? This idea of not trusting oneself, to say, hey, if I go by this by myself, it might end in tears. And what does Proverbs say? There's a way that seems right to a man, right? But the end is ways of death. And we need to really be careful regarding that. And this idea of God's plan, though, how do we manage that, when we've got expectations and so forth? I mean, you made mention earlier on of that passage of Christ when he's forgotten in the temple. And he says, how didn't you know I need to be about my father's business? which for all intents and purposes, Elder Moyo, is kind of rude, especially talking to your child. I mean, to your dad, you know, like, oh, what do you mean you're looking for me? Why are you looking for me? We got a comment actually from one of the listeners saying, oh, I think Joseph would have said, oh, and then this one. You know, how do you balance from expectations from people who might not have the same understanding of what the calling we have? Have this plan God has on our life is?
So that's a very interesting point. I think there was actually a friend of mine who was saying, you know, it's when you look at all those who are called by God, you have to recognize that they also had families about them. And when they went to them and said, you know, God has called me or has, you know, God has told me to do this thing, they would probably go like, but are you sure that was God? And even if nowadays, if your child was to come to you someone came to you and said that, or your brother came to you, your sister came to you and said, but I feel that God is calling me towards this. I have to leave the job that I'm doing right now. And I feel that God is calling me to full-time ministry. We would sometimes be skeptical, But then... So I'm looking at it from both sides, not only being the one who is being called, but what about if someone who we are close to is being called?
Yeah.
The one thing that I have found to be a principle that stands is that the ways of God is very different from the ways of man. So we should expect that there would be some kind of questioning. But there's one thing that is for sure. The most important thing is to find out whether it's God in the first place, because you don't want to take a direction just saying that I think it's God. No, you want to be sure that it is. But once you know that it is God, then do not harden your heart. Leave it to God to manage the expectations properly.
Okay.
This is why I say it. And I don't mean it as in that will make it easy. No, it won't. But it will definitely make it true. Let me say it like this. There was someone who once said that I didn't know whether I was going to get baptized or not. And the one thing I was afraid of was my mother. And the day when I stood up and said that I am going to get baptized, she went from being mad to saying, okay, but what am I going to wear to the baptism?
Wow.
It was not him who changed her mind. It was God who changed the mind. Now, am I saying that it will always work out that way? No. But one thing that we know is that you would rather obey God than man.
I think if we are faithful to our calling, the Lord will do the rest, right? If you're really earnest about it and you're not seeking anything else. As you were making mention of Jonah earlier on and coming to this idea of having others understand your calling, I'm just reminded of a skit. Someone was saying, hey, imagine Jonah coming back after 3 days without coming from home, explaining, hey, you know what? I was swallowed by a fish. And this wife is like,
you know what happened?
Jonah, you've started with your stories. If you just don't want to tell me where you were the past 3 days, just say so.
Just say so. Why are you telling me things
now
about
you're bringing lies. Fish. You were swallowed by a fish. Like, seriously?
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is one thing to understand that the calling, when God calls, he is the one responsible for making sure that the expectations are managed. Yes, fine.
Yeah.
For people to understand. Not all the time, but will God still be with you? Then that's most important.
And sometimes that's part of the journey, is it not? That perhaps you're being tested so that you maybe prove that you are on God's side and you're not going to be derailed by naysayers. So God might just make it a call about you and no one else understands. And you still ought to say, you know what? I need to walk this path alone. I mean, Abraham, imagine him having to wake up Sarah and say, yeah, so last night, me and God were having a conversation. So yeah, our boy, you must take him to a mountain. That would not have worked no matter how he tried to sell it.
To be honest, if I was Sarah in that case, I don't think I would have been able to understand.
I've seen it. Abraham, you don't like my child. You want Hagar and her child to take the call here. That's what it's about. It would not have ended well. I mean, comment coming through on our WhatsApp line as well. Imagine being Mrs. Noah and hubby saying, we are sinking all our savings and investment into a big boat. And then she's like, what is a boat? I know, yeah, we've got lakes and we've got, but why?
On dry land.
You don't know. It's going to.
You want to build a boat.
It's going to rain. Like rain. What is that, Noah?
Rain. So yeah, it's very hard to manage those expectations.
Yeah.
However, notice that they never, one of the promises of God that I've seen is, and I've seen to be true, is of when you have, when if you give up families, land, and all these things for my name's sake, then you will receive 100-fold in this life, along with persecution.
Okay.
And I like the fact that Jesus says, no, along with persecution, but then also in the light, and also on top of that, eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there may be some losses. But notice that for a lot of those people, they didn't lose what they actually thought that they were going to lose.
Yeah,
Mrs.
Certainly.
Noah might have been confused, but she never left.
I mean, I can imagine they lost whatever house they possessed or a piece of land they had, and their next yard was the whole world. They were the only human beings with all the real estate in the world.
I like that. That's a very good point. Yes, indeed.
Would you, Alana, when God calls Moyo, when God calls, I think he should make it a group call. I mean, like how when Mary was called to birth Jesus, the angel also went and spoke to Joseph and said, okay, yeah, don't worry. What this one is going to bring is going to be of God. So everybody is not needing to answer or ask questions to anybody. I think that's what we need. So maybe let's close it off like this. What are some of those steps that can help us learn to follow God's leading? Can we exercise something? Do we need to put something into place so that when he speaks, we know how to follow?
So one thing that we should know for sure is that the calling for each person could be different. I mean, when you look throughout the Bible, no two callings look the same. True, one is a burning bush. The other one is told in a dream. Yep. The other one has a dream, has a vision. The other one. So it's not always the same. However, there are principles that we can put into practice. One of them, I mean, and I'll just put these four forward. First of all, make sure that you ask. It doesn't make any sense to say that I'm going to follow God, but you don't ask God to find out what's really going on. To say, Lord, what do you want of me? What is your will? The other one is to live up to what we know so far or what we believe is right. God is not going to lead us in disobedience. The other one is to listen. Sometimes we just want to tell God, this is what I want to do, but we don't want to listen to what God has to say. And listening to God actually includes prayer and Bible study. So make sure that you don't miss out your devotional times, those times to speak with God or to let him speak. So listen. And then the one that I find very tough is wait. So I said, ask, live, listen, and wait. Sometimes we think that, oh yeah, God, no, now I'm ready to go. Do not go before God. Let it be God who leads us. Imagine if you start trying to take, and that's what we tend to do. And I'm guilty of this, of trying to run ahead of God. But then the word of God says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. So that's the idea. Wait on the Lord, and he's the one who will strengthen your heart in the time of waiting. Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately, but that purpose, remember, the purpose that God has for your life is not an event per se. It's a process. It is a life. It is not just an event. It is a whole life lived out. And it's not just one of success. It's one of fulfillment. Not the success that the world gives, but rather that of being, even if it's the smallest task, but you will be fulfilled in that task. And God's purpose for you will actually reach out into eternity. Not like ending in this world, but into eternity. So I will say again, ask, live, listen, and wait.
And wait. Oh, I love it. I love it. What a way to wrap it up. And that's a good way that we have gone through our study. Thank you so much again, Elder Moyo. Truly appreciate your time this afternoon. May God keep you. May God give you the desires of your heart. And may you continue to live a God-planned life.
No, you have a blessed day. And please continue to listen to what the Word of God has to say into our lives this day.
Amen and amen. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.